everyone. Welcome to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, so far, so good. Still hunkered down, and I'm sure everybody else is too. So, it is what it is.
That's right. So, we've got a great show lined up for you today. And for those of you joining us on the live stream, I definitely appreciate you being here. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. We've got some news, best practices. We got blueberry news. We've got a great interview that those of you on the live stream will not hear, and a support segment as well. So, Mike, you know, I woke up this morning, and I'll be frank. The sun was, I've noticed because I have a big bay that faces east. And, you know, it's been pretty kind of dreary, not necessarily great weather. And this morning, the sun was shining through there bright. And I just kind of stood there with a cup of coffee, and it was fantastic to like get this nice clear sky, the sun shining, sun coming up. It was simply fantastic this morning. So it's nice when the weather, you can see spring is trying to come.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I told the blueberry team this morning, I'm like, if it's good in your area, get out, walk around the neighborhood a couple of times, soak up some of that, you know, that infrared, you know, from the sun, and it'll do you well. So I encourage all of you that are listening today, if it's sunshine and where you're at is, you know, get out of the house and walk around a little bit. In the news, Spotify has been taking some podcasts down, and we haven't got a lot. I talked to Rob Walsh over at Libsyn and just to find out how many they had had, and they'd had 11, and we've had three. We've had three shows taken down.
Just the episode is what I understand, and it all has to do with, at least the pattern I see, is anything that mentions any possible treatment or prevention of this virus that's going around. And I guess they're just being ultra conservative and making sure that there's not misinformation out there. And, you know, one of them I thought was a little questionable, but that's just my humble opinion.
Yeah, it was named in such a way that I don't think a bot would have got it, but I think a human got it. I think a human said, we've been told, you know, here's the thing. We've asked Spotify for some, what their guidelines are. Mm-hmm. And they went silent on me, and they haven't sent a response back. And I think probably what it is trying to prevent people from manipulating the system. Cause if they come out with a set of guidelines, it says, well, here's what really, I think the one show said was, can you prevent COVID-19 by taking vitamin C or something to that effect?
Yeah. It was a question.
So I think anytime you are talking about a prevention, treatment,
cure,
you're probably going to get instantly or with it. You know, some of these were out for 4 or 5 days before they took them down. Yeah. So you're probably going to get pulled. So be very, very careful in titling and writing episode notes with the words COVID-19 in it. Yeah.
That seems to be happening on other platforms as well.
Right.
Like YouTube has been demonetizing. I know they're getting a little more lax on that, but they were demonetizing any videos that talked about COVID-19. You know, they left them up, but they would, take any monetization off of it. And I don't know if that's still the case. And I know you were saying that Facebook, a lot of people are getting in Facebook jail for posting questionable things.
Yeah. So an actual podcaster of ours, well-known podcaster in Las Vegas, he linked, it wasn't even his article. He linked to an article that apparently turned out to be of questionable origins.
Right.
And he got a 30-day vacation from Facebook. No warning, nothing, just... And he came on with he set up an alternate account, and I talked to him about it. And he said that, 3 or 4 or 5 other people that he had talked to that had linked that article also got 30-day vacation. So just be careful on what you're posting out there. And, you know, cause I think that they're really trying to prevent disinformation. So anyway, don't get it. And again, so what does that lead to, Mike? At least it's one of the things we've always said, make sure you have, you know, you still could get taken off Spotify or Facebook and get a vacation, but at least your listeners know where your site is if you're on your own .com.
Oh, yeah. I hammer it in any episode that I do. At the beginning, I say, you know, if you see me disappear from anywhere, go back to, my website.
Right.
And same here. If we disappear from somewhere, go to podcastinsider.com. It'll take you right to the right place.
That's right. So I haven't updated my Roadcaster, but you did. But I heard Roadcaster came out with a firmware update.
Yeah, it's a beta. It's a 2.2, did I say there? Or 2.1? I forget what but it's a beta. So, use at your own risk. But it adds a few features. One thing I really love so far is the metering. They put a true, dB monitoring.
Oh, really?
In the meters. So you can turn that on as an option rather than just the relative ones that were there. And you can also, do pre or post fader when you're recording. I mean, there's a lot of little tweaks for the gearheads out there. And you can change some of the characteristics of the compressor and the limiter and the gate and all that stuff, within each mic channel, which before it was just a preset and you were kind of stuck with the settings, which were pretty good, I have to say, but this is a little bit more granular. You can dig right in.
One thing I like about the Roadcaster is they had implemented what's called the big bottom. Yeah. And I have the actual hardware piece of that. It's called the Aphex 204. And mm-hmm. I've had it in my rack. I'm looking at it right now. I've had it in my rack for years. And it's what it really does is gives you a little more boom. A little more bass, a little more depth. And there's only a switch on it, if I remember correctly, in the Roadcaster to turn it on or turn it off. I've got the ability here to boom it up, boom it down.
They've changed that as well. So there is some settings for the bottom.
Oh, so I'm a big fan of the big bottom. And Aphex 204 is the box. If any of you want to Google that when you're, when you're reading about that particular feature of the Roadcaster, that's exact replication of what they've done there. Now, there's an article that says there's been an uptick in podcast listener, and it's coming from radio listeners. Who is the one that made the mention on that?
Yeah, it's Forbes. And they have an article in here that, the music industry is worrying about podcasts eating into the music share. And a lot of the people that are coming to podcasting, were avid AM/FM listeners, but now they're at home and maybe they don't even have a radio in the house.
Right.
It could be that they were car listeners, but yeah, it goes into some, pretty detailed stuff from Edison Research's Infinite Dial report about radio and whatnot. So it was just kind of they focused in on the Triton Digital part about radio versus podcasting versus music and all that other stuff. And
right.
So it's an interesting article, kind of a long read. But
there's also an article out saying that Americans are listening to podcasts more often at home. And there was another article I don't think we've linked to that said that browser listening is up since the start of COVID-19. And I actually sent a note over to Angelo to ask him to look at that as well, because we're getting ready to put out our own kind of a snapshot of what we're seeing from a download perspective. And I don't want to let too much cat out of the bag, but I'll basically say that the uptick, we're seeing a small, small uptick and more listeners on the weekends. But some shows are down. It all depends. Some, sports shows are way down, and then
news is up.
Way up,
Religious is up.
Yeah, religion is way up.
Yeah. And, think about it, though, if you're not used to working from home. So say, you're working in an office and you got your earbuds in listening to podcasts on your mobile.
Right.
Okay. And now you're stuck at home. Well, now you can run the speakers. So you just hit the play on the page on a speaker. It's easier.
I bank phone, I carry it around with me here in the office and various rooms in the studio, and I've got it hooked to a Bluetooth and it plays. I just play it on the Bluetooth. So, but I think those are working on their computers, probably just playing it on the computer. So goes back to once again, if you're not, don't pay attention to having a easily readable or easily accessible player on your website, where someone, they come to your website, they should be able to see your latest episode player almost immediately and be able to click play. If it's hit on page 2 or 3, you're not going to see these uptick in web page views if you got it buried somewhere. But anyway, I digress. So not surprised more people. And of course, this study came out about listening at home before And it was done before the COVID-19 stuff kicked off. So anyway, it's an interesting time.
You know, even more so now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think people's listening practices have changed because many of you are at home with the kids and they're driving you absolutely, you know, probably batshit crazy at times. Excuse my French.
Uh-oh, explicit tag.
Yeah, so, you know, so they're, you know, it's you know, it's everyone's in a different situation now. I can't imagine, you know, and trying to work if you still have, you know, if you're still employed and not been laid off and the stress of everything else, so it's going to mess up your listening habits. But I think over a short period of time, people will get back to their, the ability to, listen to their normal stuff on a regular time. And maybe that's why the uptick on the weekends is people are catching up on stuff.
Yeah, could be for sure.
So let's move into some best practices. Try to keep your recording space as quiet as possible, but maybe kind of hard to do with everyone home.
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of people are recording from home versus recording from a studio or a more controlled environment. But, you know, basically, as we said, keep it as, you know, as quiet as possible. You know, like what I used to have behind me here is a big old blanket hanging on the wall, and that helped pretty much to, you know, keep the audio a little less bouncy in the room here. And, you know, Mignon Fogarty, the grammar girl, she still records in her walk-in closet because that is like the perfect environment for podcasting. You got all the stuff hanging around you and all that. So if you have that available, you know, really, that works pretty well.
So
another go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as trying to keep your recording space quiet as possible, is I've basically, when I was first started podcasting, my kids were young. And so that's why I started recording at 8 o'clock at night, because usually the most noisy ones were the youngest ones, and they were in bed or getting ready to go to bed, and it was more quiet time. So for me, picking a time that was more quiet allowed the space to be more quiet and be able to record.
Oh, yeah. And one of the tricks I used to use, you know, now I don't have to as much, but I record it a little bit lower gain, you know, record it a little low, and then, you know, you can boost it in post-processing, and that can help with some background noise if you're in a bouncy room or whatever. I mean, it's not perfect, but, you know, turn that gain down and get right up on the microphone.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah. So, you know, basically turning it down so it picks up less around you.
Yeah.
And then you get up closer to it, and then you fix the audio level in post, which most people do anyway. I love the Aphonic software tool personally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Aphonic.com, if you want to use their free service, you can upload up to 2 hours?
I'm not sure.
Or something. I forget. There's some limit on the free.
I did a one-time payment on the software. And if you're a non-commercial show, I think it's $99. If you're a commercial show, it's $299. But it is the tool that this show uses. Well, actually not. We have our Blueberry Pro team.
Yeah, they
take care of the leveling.
Now, but,
take care of the leveling. But, and that's another thing too, is that if you're having someone post-process your audio, maybe like the Blueberry Pro team, you know, you tell them, I'm going to turn levels down a little bit so they know what you're doing to be able to be prepared for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I found that, you know, and everybody says dynamic mics are the only mics you should use for podcasting. That's not true. It's just the dynamic mic versus a condenser mic is much better for somewhat noisy environments. Because, you know, as I always like to say, is a condenser will pick up a fly fart at 100 yards.
Well, I used the condensers for years. You know, is probably 3 months on a dynamic versus 14 or almost 15 years on a condenser mic. So it all depends on the environment and the type of condenser mic you have, because some of the cheaper condenser mics, yes, will pick up a fly farting at 5 miles, whereas a more expensive condenser isn't as susceptible to that. But dynamics are always, you know, I think the high majority of folks are using dynamics. So
The one thing I you know, would say for sure though, is don't worry so much about the little things in the background. You're working in a different location than you're normally working from, if that's the case. Mm-hmm. You know, like a dog barking off in the distance, or, you know, say a noisy truck goes by or whatever. You know, don't don't fret that. It's, you know, your listeners are, you know, as long as it's not painful to listen to, your listeners are very forgiving about stuff like that.
Yep. All right. So in Blueberry News, PowerPress 8.2.8, that's a mouthful. Say that five times. PowerPress 8.2.8 is out. It's a hot fix. And also new WordPress version compatibility. So those of you that saw the upgrade to 5.4 on WordPress today or yesterday, don't worry. The PowerPress is fully compatible with that. But I will say, Mike, we've got, you know, we're doing a morning meeting with entire team and going around the round table. We got a lot of stuff coming.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we don't like to talk about stuff that's coming, but there's a lot.
Yeah. Around April 15th, we're going to start talking about a new product, and we hope to debut it in and around May 1st. But I feel confident enough where we are at in the process to reveal what we've been working on. As a matter of fact, I've got 80% of the dev team working on this right now, getting it ready. So April 15th, we'll start talking about a new product. Another thing that's been happening is that our UI UX development has finished the onboarding piece for the new blueberry.com onboarding. So that's being turned over one of the devs, and they are going to start working on taking what has been designed by the UIX developer, Chrissy, who is out in Utah, to get that so that it can be implemented on blueberry.com. At the same time, we are now going, the UIX designer is going full speed into the dashboard. So, you know, this is basically phase three, phase four. Phase one was onboarding with PowerPress. Phase two was the PowerPress UI update, which is going to be released in 8.3, where you're going to see that final version of the PowerPress plugin have its complete facelift of the settings. And then phase three is the onboarding of blueberry.com when someone comes in, starts an account. Phase four is now going to be the dashboard. And we have a total of six or seven phases, and ultimately we will get to stats. We'll get to all the sub pages on everything in the dashboard. So I'm hoping within the next couple of months, you're going to see a lot of this coming to fruition. And then we have a secret weapon we're hopefully to introduce sometime in the summer that we're really excited about. That was from a project we did a test in back right around Thanksgiving and Christmas time.
The Skunk Works.
And so we're going to make that ready. Lots of stuff coming. And really what it all boils down to is we have heard you loud and clear. The UI UX is, I said yesterday during the meeting, I said, this is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. What has been created with the onboarding. I'm really excited to be able to have you all see it. You know, and I'm just like, go, 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 let's get it done. So lots of stuff going on here, and the team is working from home, and it's going good. But not only are we working, podcasters are working. We're seeing the number of podcasters wanting to do a second show now is increasing. Sean said yesterday had a bunch of tickets about that.
Oh yeah, a lot of people are asking about, you know, how do I add a second show, and you know, how do you separate the feeds and all that. And at this point, the best thing to do, if you're a customer of ours, please contact us before you start, and we can give you some tips and tricks. And there's lots of different ways of doing this, so depending on your ultimate goal, we'll get you pointed in the right direction.
That's right, Mike. Do I hear your sump pump working in the background?
Yeah, unfortunately. Sorry.
So
that's those little things.
You're in the basement. If you don't have a sump pump, then you're standing in water. So
exactly. Yeah, it wasn't a toilet flushing.
No. I heard it run again. I'm like, boy, it's, of course you live like 100 feet from the Lake Michigan, so it's not. Yeah.
Oh well, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. So those of you who don't know, Mike is in Traverse City, Michigan, and he's very close to Lake Michigan on the edge. So yeah, with stone's throw, yeah.
We'll stand in the lake in about 4 minutes of walking.
So next up is Again, going back to that starting a second show, if you need help, just send us a ticket. We'll help you get started. We'll help you how to navigate that so that you can start a second show. So let's talk a little bit about your interview.
Yeah, I talked with Kellyanne Gorman just last week. She does a show called Happy Workaholic, and she has a great story why she started the podcast and what it's all about. So, yeah, I interviewed her last week, and we'll play that right here. All right, today we're going to talk to Kellyanne Gorman of the Happy Workaholic podcast. Hello, Kelly. Thanks for being on Podcast Insider.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on your show. We're doing this both at the same day. It was kind of interesting. We just got done recording you interviewing me, and now I got to break out the other hat and interview you.
Multitasking. That's what us podcasters always do, right?
Oh, yeah. And with all this crazy stuff going on in the world today, you know, we've got time for it, I guess.
I know. Seriously.
So generally, when we talk to podcasters here on Podcast Insider, we always try to get the origin story. So what is it that made you start podcasting?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So long story short, because it's so long. And I've got it down to a really short story now because I've said it so many times. But 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with MS and then another disease called neuromyelitis optica, NMO for short. And basically, you can become blind and paralyzed within seconds, like within a snap of a finger. And before my podcasting, I had to close all of my businesses I had. I was working in Las Vegas at the time in luxury travel, and I had a cosmetics line, and I was so worried that, I mean, when you hear news like that, you don't know when it's going to happen. So I decided to close the doors on everything and then bring my 20 plus years of business experience online. So I started doing social media for my clients and business coaching, LinkedIn coaching. And I watched Gary Vee a lot, and he's a fellow East Coaster like myself, and he had a podcast, and I was listening to him religiously. And I decided then that, okay, what if I can't afford to have anybody on my team and I do lose my vision, but I can only have one other person? They could help me with the podcast, because what I have left, if I become blind and paralyzed, is my voice. So that is when my research about all things podcasting started about 4 years ago. And I ended up just pushing forward. I taught myself everything I could find. And Blueberry was a huge aspect of that. And I launched my show, the Happy Workaholic Podcast, about 3 years ago. And the content I was providing, it was a show about business and LinkedIn. So I was doing a lot of business related shows, as well as what it's like to live your life with an autoimmune disease. And so that's the content I was sharing, because I was so scared. I went on Facebook Live right away. I was crying. I was swearing. I was doing all the things. I'm like, if this is happening to me, I need to share my story so I can help other people. But at the same time, like, I needed help too. Like, where do I go from here? Like, I have a business. Nobody was being vocal about, if you're sick and have a business, like how that all works. So I thought that it was very important to add that to my podcast. So that, and I've always enjoyed working. All of my careers were always like 60 to 80 hour work weeks. Like that was just my norm. Like I just, like being able to be busy and working makes me happy. So it's kind of how my name came about. But a year ago, I found out I was actually misdiagnosed. So I had to pivot my entire brand and show and everything, because I am no longer sick. So how do I even continue to share this story? So I really had, I took about a month off because I didn't know. It was just shocking, period. So now my show is all about sharing your story. I interview other entrepreneurs, medical experts, holistic healers, podcasters, business owners. So it's a little bit of everything. And for a while, I was doing a lot of podcasts in regards to medical malpractice and, you know, how to fire your doctor and just like being misdiagnosed. And those are, and now I do a lot of shows about, you know, having a business and living with PTSD and trauma and all these things. And not a lot of people talk about that. And those are my highest downloaded shows to date. I think how to fire your doctor is still my number one right now.
Yeah, that's definitely a compelling thing. And that's good news that you're no longer sick, of course. And that's great news there. So the podcast, Happy Workaholic, as you explained, you're used to working the 80-hour weeks and whatever, and aren't we all? And, you know, so that's great. So what about podcasting appealed to you? Was it just the fact that you get your voice out there, or was there something else about it?
Well, at that time I needed a platform where I could just talk, because if I was going to be blind and paralyzed, like that's all I had left. So I'm like, this is the only thing. But then when I started, I just honestly like fell in love with it. You know, not all of us like to be like hair and makeup on the Facebook Lives and on the YouTube videos. And I could push out more content rolled up in a ball in my bed if I wasn't feeling well after like a chemo treatment. And I would have like push out like some incredible content, and people would reach out to me from another country saying, thank you for sharing this episode. Thank you for sharing this content. I always say to my clients and all of my friends, like, you just never know who is listening. You never know who is searching. That's why it's so important to use, you know, specific titles and keywords and just like push out your shows and share your information, because you never know who needs it. And now like podcasting is my life. So what happened when I launched my show, you know, I was very visible on the internet being a business and LinkedIn coach, and all these other coaches and people that were following me online wanted to know how I did it. And I've always been somebody that creates things that should exist to help other people. And years ago, it was a makeup line, because I was a pro makeup artist for like 16 years. I traveled the world doing that. That's how that kind of came into fruition. But with podcasting, everybody was reaching out to me. So I just had to sit down and figure out, how can I help these people? So I created an entire done-for-you service where now I'm at almost 20 shows that I've used Blueberry, the entire process with all of my clients, where I design the WordPress website, I produce the show, I show them how to record, you know, all the ins and outs. And then I write the scripts for them using their content. And I show them like, this can change lives. So whether it's sharing a personal message or using it to expand your business and take it to a whole nother level, this is all I do now, which is crazy, because I never would have thought I'm going to be a podcaster. And now my 200th episode is just in a couple days, and I'm in 68 countries now. And this is all I do all day, all night. I write, I produce, I record. I mean, all things podcasting. I never would have imagined it, but it's completely changed my life. Like, I'm just so grateful.
Oh yeah. It has the power to do that. You know, with me, it was, you know, I got started early on in podcasting, and then just slowly it took over everything, and I've switched careers. Now I work full time in podcasting, you know, of course for Blueberry here, but, you know, I'm a hobbyist podcaster, so I don't use the podcast that I do other than this particular one, for anything business related, but that just goes to prove there is room for every type of podcast out there. And also pivoting like you've done, you know, most people think, well, I'm doing it this way, I better stay this way. And, you know, sometimes it's time to pivot, you know, and even within the same show, you know, we've changed the name of this show 3 times now because, you know, we've changed up the formats and, you know, even changed hosts around a little bit. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I just think, your story is pretty inspirational, you know, thinking you have this this crazy disease or two, and, you know, coming out the other side is not having it, which, like I said, it's great news. I didn't know that about you, so that's why we interview, right?
And it is crazy. And, you know, something I share with my clients all the time is there's no rules in podcasting. That's my number one thing I say all the time. I'm like, you can be as creative as possible. I've had to shift my show and change it so many times because of the stories I'm sharing, because my life is changing. So I have new content. I have new things to share. But then when it came to creating more content and bringing on guests, because I was only a solo show, it was just me, myself, and I for about, I think, at least the first year. Yeah, I think it was a solid year, maybe even a year and a half before I ever brought on a guest. I didn't even think about bringing on a guest. I was just using it to share my story to help other people. And then I created series. So I'm, if anybody knows me, they know I'm like the most organized individual on the planet. So I did the same thing with my show. So I have different series. So that's how I organize my guests. And so when you go to my website, you can click on the series. So I always drop in the episodes depending on what the guest is coming on and talking about, so that, because my show is very different and a lot of people follow me for business. People follow me for LinkedIn advice and tips, and other people have an autoimmune disease and they've been following me because they were also sick or they have a family member that was sick. So I have a very different audience. So because of that reason, I create content in different shows specifically for them. And then I just organize it in a series. So that if you just go to my one website, thehappyworkaholic.com, you can click on it, who you want to listen to. So I try to keep it like as simple as I can and like organized so people can, you know, not miss out on the good shows they want to hear. But like, they don't really care about how I'm representing myself in 6 malpractice cases right now. They want to hear about LinkedIn. So, you know, I organize them for them. So there's no rules. And I just think you can do whatever you want with your own show. And that's like the best part about podcasting.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's,
did it work? Did not work.
Yeah, it like I said, you can do whatever you want. There are some best practices, of course, but you know, I find that I actually listen to some podcasts about subjects that I'm not particularly interested in because I like the host. So that's the other part of podcasting. You know, you get to know somebody. You know, I'm thinking of a particular person who I won't name here, but has, you know, 4 different podcasts and only 2 of them are on subjects that I even care about. But I listen to all 4 of these shows because I like him. You know, I like listening to him. He's funny. He's, you know, informative. And even the shows that aren't about the subjects I want to talk about or listen to, they make them interesting. So, you know, sometimes it's just about the host. So even the people that you had that were, you know, coming to you because of the autoimmune stuff, now probably still listen to the other shows just because they've gotten to know you. And they know that the rest of this stuff is also part of you.
Mm-hmm. That is a good point too, because I have had people reach out. I didn't know that you were, an acting attorney at the moment. I'm like, oh yeah, what do you think I do? Like for the other 40 hours of my week.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, you know, if I'm doing a podcast about underwater basket weaving, that's a joke. You know, that isn't all I do. So anywho, yeah, that, like I said, it's quite the story, and, you've been doing quite well. I know, you know, over the years, you and I interacted quite a bit, you know, getting you going and then, helping with some of your clients and, you know, anytime you need anything, we're here, but,
I know, you and Blueberry, you guys, I said on my show when we were recording, and I've said since day one, Blueberry is the best. They go above and beyond with, you know, the service that you provide, and somebody that's always been in the service industry. I just, when I get it on my end, like I'm getting receiving the best service. Like it's just, it goes beyond, you know, and you've always been great since day one. And like the whole Blueberry team, I've spoken to probably all of them at this point, maybe a couple I haven't met yet, but just the service that you guys provide, the hosting platform, just everything. It just makes it so simple for somebody that has no idea how to do tech, no idea what the heck they're doing to start with Blueberry. It's just honestly like the best service and you get the best product in return. And I just love it. I'm so grateful.
Well, we appreciate having you for sure. okay. So speaking of geeky things, I always like to get overly geeky. What do you use for a recording setup? I'm always curious when I interview somebody.
So I have my Blue Yeti mic, and that was a treat I got myself over a year ago when I had a pitch iHeart. And I'm like, if my show gets on iHeartRadio, I'm going to buy this mic. So I bought this mic, and I record using Audacity on my laptop.
Okay, and, so you're basically you're using a USB-based mic, and right directly into your laptop. And and you know, the thing about the Blue Yeti, it gets a bad rap sometimes, but you know, if you know how to use it and you know your audio sounds decent, and you know, I know your show sounds really good, you know, if you know how you're using it, how to use it, it turns out really well. So you know, it's not so much about the equipment all the time. You know, some people obsess over the microphones, and you know, we try to, you know, yes, I'm a gearhead. I, you know, love hearing about all the geeky tech, but you know, when it comes down to it, as long as your audio is decent and your content's good, you know, you're golden. Mm-hmm. And you know, so many times people just obsess.
Sorry, go ahead.
As I say, sometimes people just obsess about, you know, well, if I get this microphone that's $100 more than the last one that I got, is, you know, am I going to gain audience? No, the audience could care less what microphone you're using.
Exactly. You know, and I'm glad you said that, because I have a lot of clients, when I start working with them, I don't even say anything about which products that they should have until it comes time. Like, I just, that's not like my go-to thing. I'm worried about your scripts, your content, what kind of information you're going to be sharing on the show. And I show you how to record, and they're like, oh my gosh, which mic should I buy? And they start shopping, and it's like $400 microphones. I'm like, no. I'm like, here's what I use, but then here's like some other options. And that's not like number one. And I taught myself how to produce and all the production and Audacity, but I've always said this as well, that I've recorded over 100 episodes on my iPhone, and they sound good because of the production. So if you know how to, you know, fine tune things in Audacity or GarageBand, I don't have a Mac, so, and I hate GarageBand files. They always come to me so attached. I don't know. It's so weird. I always use Audacity. So, my shows sound great, and I used an iPhone, and even now, the brand new iPhones, the mics on them is insane. They pick up pins dropping from like upstairs in a house if you're recording in the kitchen.
Yeah, if you're not intending that, it's probably, you know, almost a hindrance. That's the same thing with the Yeti, is it picks up everything, and you know, you got to have a nice quiet environment for it. You know, I have a good friend that does a travel podcast, and what he does is he does it on his iPhone. And you might hear a dog going off in the background. Sorry. but he records it on his iPhone. And when he's like in a hotel somewhere, he gets into the closet or whatever. Or just,
I'm in my closet now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's a great environment. You know, if you've been watching lately, we've been doing these shows live on Facebook Live. You know, not the interview part, but the main part of the show. And I just put up some acoustic panels behind me. But, you know, they're inexpensive, but it definitely makes the environment better. And, you know, now that I'm showing my face on video, got to make the background look better, because I just had an old blanket hanging up here. So
I know. My closet is fantastic because it's small, but it's deep. It's like a walk-in closet, but we have a lot of lawn guys that come, and on Tuesdays, I literally have it on my recording schedule on my calendar, like, don't record on Tuesday. And I had shifted something this week, and they were here. And yes, that was, what did I say? That was 2 days ago. And I just looked outside. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot that they're coming. Like, Tuesdays are the worst days, but they're here a lot throughout the week in San Diego for some reason. So now this is my new norm. And I actually saw somebody who, she's a host on Entertainment Tonight. And so for her voiceover, she does at her home in her closet. And she went to Home Depot and got the foam, this foam panel, and she put that up in her closet. And that's her, AKA studio.
Oh, so yeah. There's a lot of people that do it. I don't know if you know Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl. She's been a podcaster, you know, since the beginning, Hall of Fame, all that good stuff. And that's what she does. She takes her microphone right into her closet and records her episodes. And it's, you know, she's always sounds great. And, you know, and that's the key to it, is just get the right environment, and the equipment doesn't matter as much. You know, there are certain things that make things easier and all that. And, you know, a lot of people edit too much, I think. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. In fact, here's the beauty of this. We have a service at Blueberry also called Blueberry Pro Production. And so now Todd and I are talent. So I record, I send this file. When I'm done, I'm going to send this file over to Blueberry Pro. And then when they put it in the show, I don't have to mess with it. They're going to edit. They're going to make us sound smart. They're going to put it in the show. And, you know, I don't have to think about it anymore. So, you know, not that I do all my shows that way. I like doing them myself. Yeah. But, you know, this is kind of cool, I think.
I know. I just love learning, like, the production part. But I love you guys also have that service because I'm going to need it really soon.
Yeah. Well, hey, they'll do you up. Anyway, not to make this a commercial.
I know.
Yeah, you know, whatever. This is our podcast for Blueberry, so why not? Anywho, I guess, is there anything else we didn't cover that you wanted to cover in an interview?
I think. No, I guess that's good. If anybody wants to contact me, I live on Instagram. I'm always on my stories. And everywhere online, you can find me at The Happy Workaholic. My show is, again, The Happy Workaholic Podcast. And just continue to share content, share your story, and don't stress about all the, you know, technical stuff. It's more important to share your content, like you said. But my main website is thehappyworkaholic.com, and that's where you can listen to all of my shows, check out my series, follow me on social. Yeah, I have a lot of new, my 200th episode is in a couple days. So,
all right. Well, we'll definitely point that out in the show that you made it to 200. Most people don't make it past episode 7.
Oh my God. I can't even believe it, to be honest with you. I had to go back and look at the numbers just to make sure I didn't skip a few. But yeah, episode 200. I'm so excited. And I feel like now I'm really like, this is my baby. My podcast is my baby. Like, I'm just obsessed with it. I love it. It's all I do. It's all I do for my clients now. So if any of you listening are looking to move forward with your show, just do it. Don't stress. Just do it. That's what I did. And here I am.
All right. Well, very good. And thanks for being on Podcast Insider.
For having me.
All right, we want to thank Kellyanne Gorman from The Happy Workaholic for doing the interview with Mike. Appreciate that. Also want to thank Charles in the live stream. He says I'm a little hot coming in when I'm on top of the mic. So we'll keep that in mind,
back
Charles.
Back off a little?
Yeah, back off. Turn the knob down a little bit. So let's talk a little bit about support stuff.
Yeah, nothing earth-shattering today, but, you know, feed validation. We're getting a lot of inquiries. Of course, Blueberry also runs castfeedvalidator.com. So, you know, a lot of people use that, and they don't quite understand the errors, and we can certainly help you with that. But the reason you want to do that is, say, you're doing some major work on your website or whatever, or, you know, just I like to do it every time I publish an episode, just in case something went sideways with the post and you run it through one of the validators. There's two of them that are decent and actual podcast feed validators, and that's Cast Feed Validator, which is ours, and Podbase, which is podba.se, which is done by an independent guy in Charles. And that one's pretty decent as well. Do not use feedvalidator.org or W3Validator. There are some reasons you could use that, but almost all of the quote-unquote errors you get from that are not valid. Those things are out of date. They don't know a lot about podcasting and you know, those validators were meant for blog feeds and, you know, basic RSS feeds that do not include podcasts. So, but the reason you want to do it is just, you know, just to make sure everything's running right. It takes, you know, a couple of minutes to run it through Cast Feed and just see what comes up.
Let's talk about upload quotas.
A lot of people don't understand how that all works. And so we just want to go over that again. The quotas, whatever, you know, plan you're on, 100 megabytes, 250, 500, 1,000 megabytes, those plans reset on the first of every month, but your total storage that you can have on there is unlimited as long as you still have the active hosting plan. You know, that's what that is. It's just an upload quota for the calendar month. And it doesn't matter when your billing happens. It the quota resets on the first of every month.
Yep. So your amount of storage you're allowed to have goes to zero. And that's right. And don't forget about our overage allowance of 25% when you get close to the end of the month, or if you're throwing an extra show up this month and you need, or if you just kind of run out of space once in a while, drop a line to the support team. Sometimes they're nice and we'll give you a little bump for a short period of time.
We try.
And typically we get more, more likely to do that after about the 23rd or 24th of the month. When you're getting a little close, if you run out of a little storage, you know, we'll, but if we hear from you every month, we're going to kind of encourage you to bump your storage.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, if you got something special going on,
let us know.
We'll bump you up.
So podcast show notes. Well, Dave has been doing some research. Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, on our support team, he's working on trying to figure out exactly what tag is shown in which app and directory and, you know, everywhere. Because the way RSS works is there's certain tags in the RSS that have your quote-unquote description or show notes. That's all kind of an interchangeable term. And he's trying to figure out where in PowerPress specifically, but in other places, which tag shows in which app. So that'll be pretty handy. But, you know, one thing I always say is, you know, just don't give them a choice. Put in... put in what you want in the main post area of your, you know, however you're publishing your episode, and don't give them a choice, and they'll just show it everywhere. And, you know, instead of, you know, having a summary and a this and a that, you know, just keep it simple. The less choice you give them, the more apt you're going to get what you want out of those apps. But also don't worry about it, because most people hit play, they stick the thing back in their pocket, send them back to your website to read the whole thing.
All right. So next up, I guess, is Sean's tips.
Yeah, Sean is finishing up, I think, is finished. Website settings, part 3 in PowerPress.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry support team with this week's PowerPress tip. This time, we'll be taking our last look, for now, at the PowerPress website tab. Starting with the PowerPress shortcodes section. Here you can find several handy shortcodes that add more podcast functionality to your website. First up is the PowerPress shortcode. Use this code to insert the PowerPress media player anywhere you'd like within your WordPress posts. Below that, you can enable the PowerPress playlist player shortcode. Use this code to display a multi-episode playlist player on your website. That's followed by the PowerPress subscribe shortcode. This code will display a subscribe widget on your site, similar to the subscribe page option we covered in the last segment. And finally, there's the PowerPress skip to position shortcode. Use this feature to create clickable timestamped links that control playback position of the embedded PowerPress media player. Under the shortcode section is a drop-down menu next to the Having Issues header. If the PowerPress media player isn't displaying properly on your website, try the options in this drop-down menu to see if any of them fix the problem. The new Window Settings section lets you customize the size of the browser window that comes up when listeners click the Play in New Window link below your PowerPress media players. The last part of the website tab contains miscellaneous settings. Check the box next to Media Embed Options only if you're planning on using a third-party embeddable media player in place of the PowerPress player. It's best to leave the Auto Add Media drop-down menu set to Disabled unless you have a specific reason to change it. If you never want to see warning messages from PowerPress, you can choose to turn them off in the Disable Warnings drop-down menu. This is another thing that's best to leave alone unless you have a specific reason to change it. And that brings us to the end of the website tab and the end of this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email support@blueberry.com.
All right, this is going to wrap up this edition of the Podcast Insider, but if you're watching live, don't go anywhere. We're going to have a call-in period where you can call in. And for those of you listening to the show later, we're going to be doing this at least in the interim, so that you can ask your questions or just come in and talk about what's going on with you in podcasting. But if you have questions or you have comments or you want to appear, because we get this surge, all of a sudden people say, I want to be on the podcast. Now you're going to get 3-4 interviews, 5, and then it's quiet again. So this is a perfect time to get your interview knocked out with us so that you can appear on a future edition of the Podcast Insider to tell your Genesis story. We've had lots of great interviews of late, so we hope that you'll participate there. But you can send an email to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And maybe next week we'll even bring in an additional team member during the show, because we can do that here. We can bring in a third team member and have them on. And then one of us will bounce out at the end of the show and open it up for the audience. But hey, thanks for being here and listening to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Copper. And of course, thanks, Mike, for jumping on here today. And we'll see you next week on the Podcast Insider.